I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You can find us on Facebook at Rose City Native Radio. You can reach us with music, events, and more at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com. Again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, Indian Country. Stay cool. Stay native.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K2H2BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, and we're in our spring membership drive. You can help us meet our $60,000 goal by going to bit.ly/KBOO to make a contribution today. All donations will be matched up to $20,000 thanks to a generous group of anonymous donors. KBOO's independent programming is only possible with your support. Give now at bit.ly/KBOO.
Tune into KBOO on Friday, May 10th from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. for the live broadcast of the Blues Carnival, Rhythm in Rio. Rhythm in Rio is a benefit show for healthcare for all Oregon, featuring Norman Sylvester and Bloco Alegria. Again, that's the Blues Carnival Rhythm in Rio, broadcasting live from the Aladdin Theater from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. For more information, check out kboo.fm/Blues Carnival 2024.
KBOO. You can hear their hearts beating loud. Can't keep those California Indians down.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to American Indian Airwaves. For Marcus Lopez, I'm your host, Larry Smith. On today's program, Peace and Dignity Journeys 2024, a 6,000-mile, 7-month spiritual relay run that takes place every 4 years. Today on American Indian Airwaves, we'll speak with two of the Peace and Dignity regional organizers and co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journeys Central Coast Committee here in California. You're listening to American Indian Airwaves.
You can hear when the moon shines bright, the lone fool in the black of the night. You can hear the whisper in the valley. And you know when Kamakani blows to the Bahu drum, it's the warriors who are marching down the mountain. Because history.
Today on American Indian Airwaves, the Peace and Dignity Journeys 2024. The Peace and Dignity Journeys is an Indigenous and First Nation ceremonial run that invites the participation of Native and non-Native individuals committed to the survival of Native American cultures, nations, and the unification of Indigenous peoples across Turtle Island from North, Central, and South America. With its roots and traditions of running as prayer and as an expression of Indigenous cultural self-determination, the Peace and Dignity Journeys was formally established in 1990 in Quito, Ecuador, at a gathering of over 200 representatives from different Indigenous nations from throughout the Western Hemisphere. The 6,000-mile, 7-month spiritual relay run takes place every 4 years, and this year's runners will begin in what is known as Fairbanks, Alaska, running south, and in Tierra del Fuego in Argentina, runners will begin running north. Eventually, all runners will converge and meet in El Cauca, Colombia. Today on American Indian Airwaves, I'm joined by executive producer and co-host of American Indian Airwaves, Marcus Lopez, as we speak with two principal organizers, Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas. They are both Peace and Dignity regional organizers and co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journeys Central Coast Organizing Committee. And now, Marcus Lopez and myself on the Peace and Dignity Journeys 2024.
Yes, thank you very much, Marcos Vargas and Eddie Gonzalez of the Peace and Dignity Journeys of 2024. My goodness, what a tremendous event. And thank you for joining us on the American Indian Airwaves.
Well, we're happy to be with you. Likewise, this is Eddie.
Yes. And so, first thing, why don't you explain to our listeners what is the Peace and Dignity Journeys?
Well, the Peace and Dignity Journeys, actually, it's a Indigenous Peoples Run. It's a 6,000-mile relay run where runners begin in Alaska and run south to Colombia. And from the tip of Argentina, north, to Colombia, where they converge. It is inspired by the prophecy of the condor and the eagle coming together. So in many ways, it's about the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island coming together and through this important indigenous prayer run. Eddie, you want to add more to that?
Yes, and it's also about connecting communities that live right next door to each other, and communities that live in the same regions to work together in collaboration in the spirit of prayer and running. I shouldn't use the word running so much, but I feel like it is a constant prayer. And I think that our ancient native ancestors used running to transport goods and messages to each other. So this is a way that we've been working together as communities for many, many years.
And if I could add as well that while we know that running has been part of our ancestral cultures for, millennium, this particular run apparently began in 1992, but was part of a convening in 1990 of about 200 indigenous people from throughout Turtle Island who came together and made the decision that this prayer run should take place. And so it began in 1992 and has continued since then every 4 years. Unfortunately, it did not happen in 2020 because of the pandemic. So the last time we've had the Peace and Dignity Journeys run it's been 8 years now. So 2024 is now the time that we'll be undertaking this important prayer run.
Now, one of the things is to our listeners, this is not just one particular quote-unquote tribe, but this Peace and Dignity Journeys is a ceremonial run, like you both of you expressed. Now, you said the eagle and condor is a prophecy. Can either of you explain that, and what does that entail?
So this is Eddie, by the way, speaking. The way the story was first told to me was that there was a prophecy that prior to the Americas, as these two continents, North America and South America, these two continents were plentiful in the opportunity for both the eagle and the condor to hunt together side by side. Over the years of different, migrations of animals and introduction of human beings into these two continents, the eagle and the condor had to hunt in different lands, from the story that I was told. And so the prophecy says that at some point that the eagle and the condor will make contact again once together and hunt in the both regions, in the both North American and South American. That's the story that I was told years and years ago. I don't know if there's any clarification or maybe, but that's from what I understand. So the prophecy is that the eagle and the condor will once again come together in unity and brotherhood in love and in sharing, really the sharing of our lands, really is what the story and the message is about.
And so again, that again, this is Marcos, that prophecy has inspired this effort to bring together, to unify the indigenous peoples of Turtle Island. And again, based in large part on this prophecy of the eagle and the condor.
Now, one of the things that I remember during when it started in American Indian Airways, we covered the first run in California, and it was a great effort because you said all the way what we now call Alaska and what we now call Tierra del Fuego. But when they met and converged in Panama, created the notion of Abayalas North and Abayalas South. And where that Abayala, that the name before we used the word Americas, or that language in order to create a sense of during that time, was a mobilization of retired days along with a lot of mobilization of South, of Abayala South, and even including Mexico, of a great, great turmoil of the reemergence of the peoples, of the reemergence of the counter of the invasion, of the reemergence of the spiritual journey, as well as the political, socioeconomic reemergence of the first people to unite, to gather, to work together. And when the eagle and the condor does unite, it creates a feeling and a spiritual essence of the people being stronger than ever before, and that strength will unite the communities, unite the nations in order to go beyond the nation states, politics, and protocol, but more so create a self-determination of the peoples themselves. And so when you do this, when you take it over, I know we're going to call Marcos the regional coordinator, and her name is what?
Adelia Torres is the statewide regional coordinator for Peace and Dignity Journey.
And we're going to talk to her, no doubt about it, because this involves all kinds of people from different nations and communities. And so the aspiration of that, the elders within the big congregation in Quito, Ecuador, thousands upon thousands of people congregated during that time. And from North America and from Abayala North, Abayala South, and Mexico, from Canada, from Argentina, all over the place. And they congregated, the elders got this vision, got this prophecy of these, if we get together, when we get together, how powerful is that? So by you, Mr. Vargas and Mr. Gonzalez, participating, other people participating within this, it's a grand verification of the unification of our spirituality and our essential aspects as a peoples. You know, now we have the Declaration of Rights of Indigenous Peoples, and that is an expression, but here we go, this one goes beyond that. It goes beyond where indigenous and non-indigenous people can unite and have the spiritual connection within that. Now, why don't you share some experiences, Eddie or Marcos, you have, on what did the run look like up in Alaska and what, or South America? What did it look like? Explain to people a little bit what it looked like as far as communities getting together and communities maybe not getting together before, but whether the run got people together. Why don't you give us some examples?
I'm assuming you're asking about like people working together, Marcus, to work together.
The run itself. What happens?
Okay, so like a little bit. I guess I can explain a little bit in detail. A typical morning would look like the runners and the staffs, because every runner is carrying a sacred staff that is coming from either the different regions that they're running through, or some of the there's a lead staff that starts in Alaska, and that staff will be carried all the way to the middle point of our two continents. This year it's going to be Colombia. So that's what we call the lead staff. In the morning, we'll wake up, and they'll do a ceremony, and there'll be the choosing of the staff, and every runner that's running that day will pick up a staff, and there'll be an opening ceremony blessing all the runners and all the organizers and all the people that are involved, the people that are driving vehicles, people that are supporting with the food. It's a huge community. Wake up, good morning, ceremony that day. The runners then will start, they'll get into vehicles, and the runners will be dropped off in relays, almost like the beads of a necklace, is the way I kind of explain it. They go down one stretch of road or one stretch of coast or whatever they're running, and the runners get dropped off, and they run certain sections and certain legs of that journey. Then the vehicles come back around. They pick up all the runners where they've stopped, and they either move on to the next section of running, and then there's a destination. There's an end point of that day. So typically it goes from, like, we'll just say it goes from one village to the next village. And then when it gets to the next village, there is the welcoming community that welcomes the runners as they're coming through. Typically, as the runners are also running into where they're going to do their finishing ceremony or where they're going to run through a big, highly populated area, we do what's called a pack run. The runners will then converge together, and they'll run all together with the lead staff in the front. And then at the end, not at the end, but at the end of the day, we enter a space or a designated area where we've decided to have ceremony. The ceremony will close at that point. People will be smudged, and people will do ceremony, will give thanks to the Creator, to the four directions. There'll be some songs and some prayers. And then the staffs that the runners are carrying will be laid down in blankets and rolled up and put to bed for the night, as well as the runners.
Yeah, thank you, Eddie. And, you know, Marcus, I think part of your question might be the impact on these communities. So all the communities where there's a stop, there is a formal welcoming and also ceremony. For many communities, they don't have a lot of resources. And so they're pulling together sometimes the food that they have to share with these core runners. And there's usually about 10 core runners. But at each stop, there's opportunities for community members to also participate in part of the relay, to join the runners, to actually in some ways, you know, help the runners so that they can meet the mileage that they had projected for that day and that those several days and weeks. And it's these community runners who step up to participate who are also carrying this prayer. And I have to say, what I've heard from many communities is that they welcome this because they've also seen the need for healing in their own communities.
And you're listening to American Indian Airwaves. We're speaking with Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas. Both are Peace and Dignity regional organizers and co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journeys Central Coast Organizing Committee based out of California. We're speaking on the Peace and Dignity Journeys 2024 6,000 mile, 7-month spiritual relay run across Turtle Island. And now back to the interview.
This is an opportunity to celebrate Native and Indigenous culture and tradition. And as Marcus said, you know, to embrace cultural self-determination. There's also a healing prayer. There's a lot of folks who are going through hard times and the generational trauma of conquest and colonization, all that. And so this run is part of that healing. And people, this is why the communities really embrace this, because this is taking their prayer and taking it all the way down to, in this case, this time, Colombia, as part of this larger prayer on Turtle Island.
Eddie and Marcos, and thank you for both of you for your good words and just understanding, you know, the eagle and the condor as relations to so many Indigenous nations through different cultural ways, and how important the Peace and Dignity Journey is. And as you mentioned earlier, COVID, that caused a lot of wounding in communities, not just in humans, but also in animal relations too. And talking about healing and the work that you, Marcos and Eddie are doing along with others in organizing the Peace and Dignity Journey, and what Marcos was asking, what are some of the logistical complications, because we're talking about, or, you know, organizing across Turtle Island to make this ceremony happen, and, you know, different colonial and indigenous spaces, you know, create different cultural protocols that have to be adhered to, but also mm-hmm. those settler colonial obstacles that makes establishing and making this ceremony happen in a good way. And for our listeners, can you talk about what that looks like on your end as both of you as organizers?
Right. Well, thank you. That's a really good question. And no group can do it alone. We're in constant communication and engagement with folks at the state and the national and the transnational level. So there's a lot of organizing going on. There's some people who are taking on the responsibility to really make sure this all comes together in a good way throughout Turtle Island. Here in the central coast of California, which is the land of the first people, the Chumash people, we've decided to take responsibility for three counties, San Luis Obispo County, Santa Barbara County, Ventura County. And while it doesn't seem a lot, it is significant for us. So what we're doing is working with community groups, first of all, reaching out to all the Chumash bands and organizations and engaging with them and inviting them, as well as here we have a growing Mixteco community, which is indigenous people from the south of Mexico, a growing number there, and mainly work in the agricultural area. So they've stepped up, and also social justice organizations and community groups. And so it's working with all these folks to identify on the route, and this is where Eddie has been brilliant, is based on his experience over the years trying to really figure out how this route is going to look like logistically when the runners come through. And then, as I said, working with communities so that we organize in each community for them to provide a welcome, in some cases overnight stay, and at least one case in our region, it'll be a 2 nights rest period as well. Mm-hmm. So, Eddie, maybe you can talk a little bit more about how you've been engaging folks on that.
And you're listening to Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas. Both are Peace and Dignity regional organizers and co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journeys Central Coast Organizing Committee based out of California. You're listening to American Indian Airwaves. And if you appreciate the work we do here on American Indian Airwaves and all the work that the volunteer programmers and staff perform for you, the community, for you, the listeners, we ask that you financially support KPFK. KPFK is 100% listener supported by all of you, and there are various ways in which you can support KPFK. You can become a KPFK monthly sustainer circle member. Visit the kpfk.org website, click on the pledge widget, and agree to donate a dollar amount per month of your choice. Also on the kpfk.org website, there are a variety of premium items or thank you gifts for a specific dollar amount that you can choose and select from. You can visit the kpfk.org website, click on the KPFK pledge widget, or you can call 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. You're listening to American Indian Airwaves, and now back to our interview with Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas on the Peace and Dignity Journeys 2024.
Looking at the different cities that we'll be hosting overnight, you know, the logistics of that, like, you know, I'll give you an example. One night they're going to be staying in a community center. The next night they're going to be camping. And then the following night they're going to be at another community center. And I think that at some point too, on like the rest day, the runners are going to be looking for opportunities to wash clothing, to sleep a little extra, make some personal phone calls. So having spaces that have, you know, Wi-Fi and telephone service and laundry services and stuff like that. Here locally, though, I also want one of the missions and one of the goals that Central Coast Peace and Dignity has, really one of the goals that we're trying to do, is that we are really trying to care for the runners that are coming through. We're going to try and provide some therapeutic massage, some possibility of access to a sauna or saunas, and like a jacuzzi, so that the runners can rest and heal their bodies. Obviously, there's also the ocean that is very healing as well. The runners in the past when they've come through here have benefited from just taking a nap on the sand in Santa Barbara and just relaxing. You want to add to that?
Yeah, no, also, no, absolutely. We want to do our best to support the runners, and including when there's opportunities for ceremonial sweat lodge as well for the runners. There's a possibility of that taking place on the San Ynez Chumash Reservation, as well as some other spaces. But we really want to care for these runners. They've made a major commitment, and they need our support. We've also gotten some sponsors to provide new running shoes and socks and other gear for runners. But we want to make sure that they're taken care of as they embark in this really, really incredible journey all the way down to Columbia.
We know that this run is the peace and dignity journey. It's not only a land journey, but an ocean journey, a journey of the water spirits, a journey of the relation spirits of the creepy crawlers and so on and so forth, who are the animal and plant life. We can see they honor them. It's not only a human endeavor, but also when you talk about this journey and with the prophecy, it talks about the ethnocide and genocide what happened within this Abayala North and Abayala South. And within that, this honoring our ancestors and elders, the past ancestors, and how to be a good living ancestor, you might say, in training, and about the elders that passed on, and about the healing knowledge, and about the herbal medicine, and about the animal husbandry, and about the agriculture, and sharing knowledge with the younger generation. It's a whole bit. It's not just one plane, but it's a massive conglomeration of indigenous knowledge that people are asking for, and that you are in different villages. And this is what I heard up in Alaska and throughout the Northwest, on the Northern Cow, Southern Cow, Mexico, Central Valley, over there in Chiapas, or different areas in Guatemala, going all the way to Panama, and all the way to Chile, coming up to Bolivia and Peru, and all those different areas that different communities come together that has never seen each other before,
That's right.
Never heard each other before, that don't know that the knowledge that the traditional knowledge that might come up within these runners when they congregate, it's not about the runners per se. But the runners are the messengers.
That's right.
When the different runners come together on one side of the mountain, that the communities on the other side of the mountain might know that their relatives on the other side of the mountain are doing okay, or their message is a message of healing.
Uh-huh.
That year-old generations of, we don't talk to those people because of this and that. It's these runners create the healing. And this healing is manifested. And what you remind me of, Marcos and Eddie, you remind me of, especially when down in L.A., I think it was last time around, that the organizers came down to finally when the Pahlung that talked to the Tongva themselves and said, and they lined up all the staff, all that energy, spiritual energy, that these staffs, that people don't realize that these staffs are medicine. These staffs are something that you can actually see and feel within your inner circle. When you congregate, when you look at these staffs that are from Alaska, they're from the Northwest, they're from the North, the California, they're from the ocean people, they're from the mountain people, they're from the desert people, they're from the plant people, they're from the water people, they're from all these different sectors that make up the run. So what you both are doing is a manifestation of this huge amount of energy. And so it's not just, and I just want to mention this and have a question after that, but it's not just a question of the runners.
Right.
You're asking for joining, people join the runners, people contributing to the runners, actually that energy of run, because the run is the run of different songs and different prayers from the staff or different songs that they have shared within the different nations, that they give the permission to share those songs, and those songs create a message of themselves in our original language. Why don't you talk about this question of honoring and promoting cultural exchange between the First Nations through dance and music and ceremonies. Talk about that, Eddie. Talk about that, Marcos.
So I guess the way I could really explain is just share my own experience. Let's say 2012, one of the closing ceremonies that I participated in, it was very beautiful to hear about 8 different Native American languages, not just in language, but in song. There was several different stories about where the certain staffs came from, some of them coming from, you know, different parts of Canada, and there are different reasons why that particular community sent a staff. Some of the messages were sad and very, I don't want to use the word gruesome, but they were about talking about, you know, missing Indigenous women. I remember that clearly that year. Some of them are about sending blessings to other regions, you know, for being thankful for having happiness and goodness. I guess there's just a mixed bag of different language, songs, different kinds of burning sages, from sweetgrass to certain kinds of cedar wood, different kinds of copal. It's just a massive different amounts of energies and different kinds of different ways to pray. But it all kind of comes together in a very similar way, which is very amazing to know that a lot of these Indigenous ways were connected, even though they were thousands of miles apart.
You know, there's just so much potential in this run, and we're already seeing the healing taking place by just engaging communities and having conversations about the run and its intention. There's a lot of so having the Chumash people, the first people of this region, you know, taking a lead on sharing songs and ceremony. Marcos and the Tomo captains in Santa Barbara, in terms of welcoming the runners and doing a village hop along the aligned with the runners' route south. Those things are so important, and also the danza, the Aztec danza community as well, stepping up and participating and sharing their knowledge and traditions and ceremony. I have to say that we have a lot of young people in our region who have been completely disconnected to their Indigenous heritage and culture and their past. So this is an incredible opportunity. We're now engaging many of our young people who are cross-country runners in the high schools. And many of them are run every day as sport, but don't realize that their need to respect the land that they're running on. Understand that there's a long history of running, a ceremony, and that you know, when you're out there running, this is an opportunity to connect to the Creator. These are things, opportunities that don't always come up, but Peace and Dignity is providing this incredible opportunity for us to grow and learn from one another in tradition, in Indigenous and Native traditions.
And you're listening to American Indian Airwaves. We're speaking with Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas. Both are Peace and Dignity regional organizers and co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journeys Central Coast Organizing Committee based out of California. We're speaking on the Peace and Dignity Journeys 2024 6,000 mile, 7-month spiritual relay run across Turtle Island. And now back to the interview.
It reminds me of Eddie, when you talked about the murdered and missing Indigenous women and girls and LGBT and two-spirited communities, we can see that the question of who is the Peace and Dignity Journey Central Coast? Why don't you talk about yourselves? What's your goal?
Yeah, well, we're made up of a group of elders, culture workers, and organizers who support the mission and the vision of Peace and Dignity. Many of these folks are folks who got together, have been involved with Peace and Dignity over the many years. But we did find out that a lot of our elders have passed on, and some of them are no longer available. It's been 8 years since the last Peace and Dignity journeys run. And so we've come together to support the run overall throughout Turtle Island, but also to ensure here in the Central Coast of California that we will do all we can to work with communities to create healing spaces and welcoming spaces for the runners. But as you very effectively elevated, Marcos, it's also about you know, bringing folks together and learning from one another as well. So it is our goal again is to support the overall run, but our piece is these three counties in ensuring that communities are supported in their effort to welcome the runners, and that they're given the opportunity to become part of this prayer as well.
Now, Marcos, why don't you talk about, especially, and Eddie, we can see that since the last run, 8 years ago, whatever it was, that we can see a lot of things have happened since then, not only the pandemic and not only the COVID, but also the disaster within the health industry and all the social workers that help and all the nurses and whatnot. But this run is peace and dignity run. It's about peace. For example, what's happened in the Middle East with the Palestinian people. It's about peace within the world. It's not just peace within, you know, our indigenous communities, with the lateral violence and with the violence against women and girls, you know, and there's violence against, you know, especially with Black Lives Matter and that surfacing up. We can see this run is for every people, everybody that wants peace. And this notion of a dignity. Won't you come, Eddie and Marcos? Won't you get to us the question of peace, real peace, and real dignity? What does that mean to you?
Well, certainly you hit the nail on the head, Marcos. It's about global peace. It's peace within from the global level to the community level, and even within domestic relationships. It's addressing the pain and suffering from domestic violence to war and the global international war machine and industrial complex, and praying for change and praying for strength to challenge those entities at different levels to promote peace throughout. But you're absolutely right. So it's peace on an international level, as well as a community and local level, but also dignity, that the self-determination of indigenous peoples, that their language and culture become preserved, and that a new generation learn those traditions, as well as dignity as working people. As we have, as I mentioned, the Mixteco community, who are farm worker community, in our region, and having their involvement and supporting their struggles for economic and social and self-determination as well. So it's all of that, but certainly it grounding us in the traditional indigenous beliefs, understanding that we are all connected as one people, is really critical to this.
Now, this question of this peace and dignity journey in the Central Coast specifically, later on, when we talk to other leaders within the whole journey, hopefully we can get the time and energy to talk with them, along with you, constant, because there's going to be constant ebb and flow within this organizing. You know that already, folks. But who do you want to become a runner? And what kind of community support do you have? Talk to our listeners about that.
Well, you know, if somebody feels the calling to become a runner, I think the word run is something that I want to make sure we're very clear. You don't necessarily need to, like, run. You don't need to have, like, a certain amount of time that you can run a mile in or anything like that. There are some people that at their own pace, they jog it. They jog, and they and some people even have walked a certain leg of the journey. The important part is to be spiritually connected in the correct way and follow the protocols and follow what peace and dignity is about. It's really, I think that is more important, but really anybody can run. There's a couple of little things that, you know, we'd like to get people ahead of time, attend the orientation, and you would have to be able to at least be able to walk or jog between a half a mile to a mile in the open road, in the open environment. And be able to carry a staff in one hand, and you'd have to be able to keep yourself, you know, restraining from, you know, certain activities during that time. So, but all these questions can be answered to the local folk that would like to get involved. At we have practice runs that start off with an orientation. Some of them are happening in slow in San Luis Obispo County and Santa Maria. Some of them are happening here in Santa Barbara County at in Santa Barbara. Some of them are happening in Fillmore. Some of them are happening in Ventura. So we have a local website that will have some of these dates and places locally. Like I said, once again, we're specifically talking about Peace and Dignity in the Central Coast of California, which is SLO County, Santa Barbara County, and Ventura County.
If I could add to that, and thank you, Eddie. Again, since you mentioned the website, it's Peace Dignity Central Coast, all lowercase. Peace Dignity Central Coast, and you can find out more about our work there. Eddie mentioned orientation. What is really key is that these runners recognize that this is not just about a run. It's not a race. It's about a prayer. So to ground people in ceremony. So when we have what we call a preparation or practice run, we just had one this morning, we started with a circle and the smudging and the songs and the acknowledgement of the four directions, as well as our ancestors and the earth and our hearts. And that's how we open it. And then we do some stretching. We teach folks about, you know, how to stretch and prepare for a run, maybe some nutritional facts as well in terms of what they should be eating. And then we go for our preparation run. And then in this case, this morning, it was a beautiful run to the ocean. And it was raining, and we got the Creator was there for us and blessed us with some rain, but also not too much so that we weren't able to make it all the way to the ocean, to the beach. And then we come back, and then we get back in circle again, and then we close the circle in a good way, in a traditional way, so that we are, again, recognizing the four directions. We're giving our appreciation to the Creator as we do this, and prayers for the communities that we will, the part of the route, and prayers for the overall peace and dignity, and again, as was mentioned, for global peace. So it's important that these runners, I recognize that this is not just a run, this is a prayer, and we've already begun the prayer now as we prepare. So it's been a beautiful coming together and providing this community this opportunity to have ceremony almost on a weekly basis now, between now and when the runners will be coming through our region in July. We'll be having these preparation runs and orientations, and it's providing ceremony on a regular basis to our community.
And you're listening to American Indian Airwaves. We're speaking with Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas. Both are Peace and Dignity regional organizers and co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journeys Central Coast Organizing Committee. We want to remind listeners, you're listening to American Indian Airwaves here on KPFK, and we are presently in fund drive mode. KPFK is 100% listener supported. Without your continued contributions and support, KPFK cannot continue to bring you the marginalized, unheard voices and fresh and new ideas and information that is unheard in the corporate private media landscape, if you will. And there are many ways you can support us here on KPFK. You can visit the kpfk.org website. You can become a KPFK Sustainer Circle member by clicking on the KPFK widget and agreeing to donate a dollar amount per month of your choice. Also, there are several premium items or thank you items that you can select and choose from for a specific dollar amount. You can also call 818-985-5735 and speak with someone and agree to become a KPFK Sustainer Circle member, or pick up a premium item that is listed on the kpfk.org website. Here at American Indian Airwaves, we bring you marginalized, unheard voices. Like today, our guests are speaking about the Peace and Dignity's Journeys 2024, a 6,000-mile, 7-month spiritual relay run that takes place every 4 years. If you appreciate the voices we bring, if you appreciate the work that we do, if you appreciate KPFK, to support KPFK without you, the listener, without you, the community members supporting KPFK, we cannot continue to bring you the kind of voices that we do here on American Indian Airwaves and across KPFK's programming spectrum. And now back to our interview with Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas, the Peace and Dignity regional organizers and co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journey Central Coast Organizing Committee.
Yes, to let everybody know about peaceanddignitycentralcoast.org on the website. I looked at it. It talks about many different things, and it's a very impressive website. Just wanted to mention that within Chumash territory, not only San Luis Obispo, the L.A. County, too, and all that. And one of the things is this year, especially the anniversary of the 1824 revolt, and what all that means is not only just one particular, the Purísimo or Supercai, the area that where the revolt was at, and many other missions and peoples were involved within that, that especially this year. But I wanted to also say about the Condor philosophy of the Chumash peoples. That, you know, in the realm of organizing, the realm of gathering, you hear more about that because that's so important to the Chumash people and also the people that take care of and that have been involved for a lot of Chumash people and the different agencies to not only protect the Condor, but even like my brother seen a Condor over Santa Barbara flying around. So this question of this change, the change for the future, is something that is really timely and is something that's really important to not only to our listeners, but to our Chumash and non-Chumash communities and all the Native people that are living in this area to join and support, and as well as joining the whole chain, like Eddie said before, the chain, like a necklace, this necklace, a spiritual necklace from all the different Abayala North, Abayala South. It was wonderful speaking to both of you. Any last comments before we close it up?
No, but, well, except that thank you, Marcos, for elevating the reality that this is the 200th anniversary of the Chumash Revolt against the missions, 200th anniversary, 200th anniversary of the revolt against the mission system. And I think that's important for us to really understand and appreciate that struggle continues for cultural self-determination and resistance against ongoing colonization and the genocide of our people. So thank you for elevating that, something that I think we need to do more about, to use peace and dignity as an opportunity to educate on that important reality as well. Yes, we're working hard, but you know, this has been a joyous work. It's certainly it's brought me a great deal of joy just engaging folks. I'm a Chicano sun dancer in Lakota tradition, but I'm also an organizer and a long distance runner. So it's been a conversion of a lot of who I am as an individual, and it's brought me a lot of joy. I've been fortunate enough to have retired at the end of 2023. And this has taken up a lot of my time, as my wife knows and my children know, but it is a blessing and something that I'm so happy to be part of. And to be able to work with individuals like Eddie in the community who are organizers and leaders in their own right, and to for all of us to come together has just been a great experience. Oops. Eddie, you want to add?
Yes. I think my, you know, final little some words I'd like to just kind of share is I'd like to offer some dates that the run will be coming into the Central Coast of California. Obviously, the run starts May 1st, but the runners will arrive until July 8th. They're going to enter San Luis Obispo County from the north, like King City, and then they'll be running through King City, Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, and then right around the 11th of July, they'll enter Santa Barbara County. And then from there, they're going to go Guadalupe, San Ynez, Santa Barbara, Carpinteria. And then right around the 15th, they're going to enter Ventura County.
Right.
Now, once again, then in Ventura County, they're going to be here for the 15th, the 16th, and then on the 17th, they're going to enter L.A. County. Now, once again, these are all approximate dates. we're really, really focusing on trying to keep those dates to stay in at the right at that date in those cities. But like I mentioned before, this is a very organic run. There's weather, there's obstacles, the cars could break down, there's injury of the runners that can happen. We're going to leave it all in the hands of Creator to keep the run according to this calendar. But like I said, these are the approximate dates. Once again, just think of it as mid-July, the run will be in our area in the central coast of California. Prior to that, it'll be like early July, it'll be up in the Bay, San Francisco Bay and Oakland and stuff like that. So those are the kind of approximate dates that we're looking at. Anything else, Marcus?
No, only that we appreciate this opportunity to talk more. This is a learning for all of us. We're all growing as we every day in this journey, in this prayer, and look forward to engaging some of your listeners. If they're interested, in please check out the website and sign up to get information. And this is going to be, again, a really amazing prayer that we all could take a part in.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here on the American Indian Airwaves.
And we want to remind listeners that we are speaking with our guests for the hour, Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas. Both of them are co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journey Central Coast Regional Organizers. And if you appreciate the work that we do here on American Indian Airwaves and KPFK, we want to remind you that KPFK cannot exist without your financial support. And there are many ways to support KPFK and support all the volunteer programmers and the volunteer staff here at KPFK during our transition and our rebirthing, if you will, of a new KPFK for future generations, for you, all you young listeners, for all you new listeners, and for all you old listeners that continue to support us here on American Indian Airwaves and KPFK. There's a variety of different ways you can show your support. You can become a KPFK monthly Sustainer Circle member by visiting the kpfk.org website, clicking on the KPFK widget, and donating a dollar amount of your choice on a monthly basis. There's a wide variety of premium items that you can pick up for a specific dollar amount that's listed on the kpfk.org website. You can call 818-985-5735 or 818-985-KPFK and speak with someone and express your way of financially supporting KPFK here on American Indian Airwaves. Marcus?
You know, Larry, this is really an important time that we live in. The situation within Palestine and the assault on the Palestinian peoples, as well as escalation within the area, we could have seen that coming. Our interviews in the past, and going into this discussion of peace and dignity, it's about how do we get peace? Where's the peace movement? Right. And that's why we broadcast. We go out of our way with the Native peoples, with the non-Native peoples about this, and then keeping the dignity journey about when do we keep our dignity for humanity. Obviously, certain nation states have their own agenda, but we're talking about the combating fascism and combating undemocratic means in order for stopping genocide and stopping ethnic cleansing. So we want you, if you like our programming, American Indian Airwaves, we can't function without KPFK. We can, and there are a lot of podcasts. But yet, on the other hand, Larry, we cover such a terrific area, the most concentrated area of Native peoples in all North America, Los Angeles area. And then from Point Conception to the Mexican border, take out your wallet, take out your plastic, have your organization call us, 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-5735. Let me say this, Larry, to our listeners, these are gift items, but yet a lot of times too is that we're going through this very dry period of financially for not only Pacifica, for KPFK within Los Angeles, about it's not just the premiums, it's about your, that what you said earlier, Larry, monthly sustainers, go to the website, donate. KPFK.org, all your international listeners. I just received somebody that listened to our programs, Larry, up in Washington area, and they said they love the interview with the issue of Palestine. So these type of programs are for you, our listeners, that no other commercial or non-commercial programs carry. Now, we have some terrific programs here at KPFK. Prescott, Margaret Prescott, Beautiful Struggle, and many other ones. The ones about the prisoners with Silva, Jerry Silva talks about, and all these type of programmers. And this helps if you don't just want to support, but maybe you have another other program that you equally like, American Indian Airways with other programs. Donate your money. Donate, put your conscience with your wallet is. Put your conscience with your purse is. We appreciate your listeners, community-sponsored radio. Larry.
Thank you, Marcus. And again, the website is kpfk.org, and the phone number is 818-985-5735 or 818-985-KPFK. And we just want to thank all of you that are our listeners of American Indian Airwaves over the years, maybe over the recent months. We welcome all of you that are new listeners on KPFK FM 90.7, and all you new listeners that are out there podcasting, as well as your old listeners. And we just want to remind you that, you know, we can't do this kind of work on a weekly basis and bringing, you know, marginalized, unheard indigenous voices from across Turtle Island, across Mother Earth, across Abba Yala. And we are able to do that with your support here on American Indian Airwaves and with your support here at KPFK. And again, just to remind everyone that is listening to us here on American Indian Airwaves, you can support KPFK in a variety of different ways. You can visit the kpfk.org website, click on the KPFK pledge widget, become a KPFK Sustainer Circle member, donate a dollar amount, agree to donate a dollar amount per month to help support community radio, to help support indigenous marginalized voices, to help support all the volunteer work that KPFK programmers and staff bring to you, the listeners on KPFK FM 90.7, and those of you streaming on various podcasting platforms and listening to us, American Indian Airwaves, and KPFK in general. Again, you can visit the kpfk.org website, click on the KPFK widget, become a KPFK Sustainer Circle member by donating a dollar amount or agreeing to donate a dollar amount per month on a monthly basis. There are also a variety of KPFK premium items or thank you gifts that you can look at. For each thank you gift or each premium item is for a dollar amount. And by picking up a premium item or a thank you gift for that dollar amount, it helps support KPFK. KPFK, again, is 100% listener supported. There are no corporate underwriters. There are no advertisements on any KPFK program. You just get 100% volunteer, community-based programmers on KPFK that bring you the unheard and marginalized voices that you don't hear, and you don't hear the kind of information on KPFK programs in the corporate mass media. And we provide you that service to all of you, the listeners, to you, community members, to you, the people that are listening across Turtle Island. And we ask once again that you continue your support or become a supporter of KPFK by agreeing to donate a dollar amount. You can visit the kpfk.org website, click on the KPFK widget, donate a dollar amount, become a KPFK Sustainer Circle member by agreeing to donate a dollar amount every month, or pick up a premium item for the selected dollar amount that's listed on the kpfk.org website.
The moment of silence is over.
And that concludes our show for today here on American Indian Airwaves. A special thank you to our guest, Eddie Gonzalez and Marcos Vargas. Both are Peace and Dignity regional organizers and co-chairs of the Peace and Dignity Journey Central Coast Organizing Committee. For more information, you can visit their website at www.peacedignitycentralcoast.org. A special thank you to our musical guests, Aragon Star, Krupa Aina, and the band Blackfire. American Indian Airwaves is mixed and mastered in the studios of Burnt Swamp Studios in Signal Hill, California. For Marcus Lopez, I'm been your host for the hour, Larry Smith. Until next time.
The moment of silence is over. Why your freedom manifests on their graves, and the blood never comes clean from the guilty minds, nor the hands that hold the chains. In a rhythm of resistance, we still fight for our lives. In this war that never ended, we've outdrawn your lies. Let our after all the lies and the empty promises, we take a stand on the land that you tried to bury us. For all the pain and all the suffering.
Hello, this is Daffodil. You're listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland.
Got troubles, I got them too. There isn't any.